I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 1. I don't know why I turned. That echoed all over the church. Psalm 1. While I'm finding my place there, perhaps you are too, there's a shooting today in North Carolina. Does anybody have an update on that? The school in North Carolina, anyone? I think it was the Winston-Salem area. Okay. That was confirmed. I know there was a shooting. That's not hearsay. I'm just not sure as to all that took place. And our world's in trouble. While so many things continue to bother me and move me, I just want to tell you, God's not bothered. He's not taken by surprise. Not at all. He's not taken by surprise. I will tell you this. I believe God is angry. We don't like to think of God as angry. Brother Dan? Okay. I'm glad God is love, but God is just too. He sure is. God is light. And God is angry. God gets angry. We don't like to think about that, do we? I was thinking of a verse of Scripture in the Revelation chapter number 6. I think it's the last verse in that chapter. I think it's verse 17. It says, "The great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" I know as I read through the Old Testament, there are times that God begins to exact His judgment on His own people. And there were times where they would say, "Well, you know what, we're going to turn." And He said, "Well, go ahead, but I'm still going to judge you. I'm still going to judge you." They said, "But we're going to turn." I said, "Well, okay, but I'm still going to judge you." It's kind of like when perhaps you did this when you were a child. You did something wrong, and for me it was my mother would say, "Come here. Come and get what you got coming to you." And I'd say, "Well, I'm not going to do it again." "Yeah, okay, that's good. But come and get what you're going to get for what you've done." Sometimes when God begins His judgment, brethren, it's not held back. Right? And so somehow this thing that has slipped into the church that, you know, we can do any way we want to do, whether it be Christians, whether it be a nation, we can just do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, and just say, "I'm sorry," and then everything will be okay. But that's just not the way God works. I'm glad God will forgive us now. I'm glad God will forgive us. But God will judge us too. God will judge us. Well, we've been talking about how to be happy. So, well, that didn't sound too happy. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm happy in spite of what's going on in our world. I'm not happy with what's going on in the world. But I have a happiness in my soul that comes from my relationship with the God of heaven. And we don't have to allow these outside things to dictate if we're going to be happy or not. You know, it's the same way we talked about praise. I don't have to allow my circumstances or situations to dictate if I'm going to praise God or not. I'm going to praise God because He's worthy. Amen. And it's the same way with being happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. Not everyone knows how to be happy. Some people don't even feel comfortable being happy. Some people have no clue what they're searching for to become happy. They don't even know what brings happiness. That's why they go from one thing to the next to the next. They're just bouncing around like a rubber ball, looking for something to make them happy. I want to share something with you. Ten ways to be happier. I think these are pretty good ways. But at the end, I want to tell you, there's not a way that I'm going to mention to you that's going to trump what I'm going to preach to you tonight. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight..." See, the blessed man, that word blessed, we talked about it. There's two biblical definitions. One is a recipient of God's goodness. He's blessed. And one is a recipient of God's happiness. He's extremely happy. That's what that word blessed means. Extremely happy. Not just happy, extremely happy. The happiness that we get from God is a deep-seated happiness. It's a joy that's not dependent upon circumstances or happenstances. It's a joy in spite of those things. And here, the psalmist said, you want to be happy? I want to tell you how you can be happy. We looked in Psalm 32, and the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered," right? "And whose iniquity is not imputed unto him." So to have a right relationship with God, according to Psalm 32 now, to be in a right standing before God makes a man happy. Makes me happy. Amen. Amen? To make you happy? I'm happy when I'm right before God. You say, "Well, I'm saved." Well, I know a lot of saved people that are not happy. I didn't say, get saved and you'll be happy. I said, when you have a right standing before God. There's a lot of saved people that are not happy. Amen. I'm saved, and there's been times I haven't been happy. That it's not because I lost my salvation. It was because I chose to get out of fellowship with God. I chose that. And so in Psalm 32, the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven." In other words, he has a right standing before God. David was a child of God, and yet he had gotten away from the Lord, and God brought him back, and he said, "I tell you now," he said, "I am happy. I'm happy that God forgave me and received me back." You ever been there? I tell you, when you walk with God, when you're in fellowship, when you're in communion with God, you're happy. That's right. You can even have a burden, but there's a deep-seated joy in the midst of all that God is doing in our lives when we're in fellowship with the Lord. And then we looked in Psalm 34. Remember? "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." You trust in the Lord, you'll be happy. And the psalmist said, "Taste and see." We looked at where David was at that time in his life. Remember? In the cave, Adullam. He went before the king of Gath, acting like a madman. And had all those people to come to him in that cave. And God gave David a song in the midst of all that trouble. See, God can do that. God can give you a song. God can put joy in your heart and happiness in your life in spite of all that's going on around you. And now he said, "I want to tell you another way to be happy." So he's already seen two ways. Listen, you want to be happy? Be in a right standing before God. Are you right with God? Are you in a right standing before the Lord? Do you feel like that if you got a phone call that you could get in touch with heaven just like that? Or would there be a lot of things that need to be discussed between you and God before you feel like heaven's line would be open? Walk with the Lord. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And the Bible says we can have fellowship one with another. Amen. And then trust Him. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean upon your own understanding. That'll get you in trouble. Right? Now, if we've been saved, you and I that have been saved for quite some time, we understand we've done that and it doesn't work out well for us. You learn sooner or later that we trust the Lord, not ourselves. But now here's another way. So we're happy when we trust Him. And I pray you are trusting the Lord. We're happy when we're in fellowship with Him. But now here's the psalmist saying, we're happy when we're living according to His law. He said, the man that's delighting in the law of the Lord, in verse number 2, you see that? He said, he's a blessed man. And there's just some things that will add to that blessing, some things that God will guard you from. You ready for this list? I hope some of you practice this. I've committed in my heart, God, I want to do some of this because I believe it's good. 10 things. Give something of value away. No strings attached. You want to be happy? Don't hold on to everything God gives you. Not everything that God gives to you is for you. Sometimes God wants to give through you. Give some things away. You'll be happier. Number 2, do a kindness and then forget it. Don't look for a pat on the back or recognition, right? Do a kindness to someone. Do something good for somebody and don't look for something in return. Number 3, spend a few minutes with the aged. Their experience is a priceless guidance. Some of the greatest times I've had is with the aged. People who's been places that I was aspiring to be or that I knew nothing about. It'll do us good to not forget the aged. Number 4, look intently into the face of a baby and marvel. There's just something about babies, amen? I come down to the Child Development Center from time to time, and I just kind of go through the rooms and just look at the children. I probably agitate the hound dog out of these teachers, but I just look at the little babies. You know, I just love the little babies. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Grab you a baby and hold on to that baby and just hug it and bring him or her tight to you. Little children are a blessing. Laugh often. Laughter is life's lubricant. Amen. You say, well, I don't have anything to laugh about. Well, laugh at yourself. Amen. You'll have plenty to laugh about. Amen. So I don't like to laugh at myself. I don't like anybody laughing at me. Yeah, you're not happy. I'm telling you some ways you can be happy. Till you've learned to laugh at yourself, you're living too serious. We all do stupid stuff. Not me. I told you, you're not happy. Get happy and you'll see the stupid stuff you do. Everyone else does. You might as well see it too. Give thanks. 1,000 times a day is not enough. Give thanks. These are things that just make us happier. Be thankful. Don't live life like somebody owes you something and God owes this stuff. Be thankful for what you have in life. Amen. Makes you happier. Pray, or you will lose your way. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. God's still teaching me that. He sure is. These are just 10 simple ways to be happy. So I'm not going to do it, preacher. No one can make you be happy. It's a choice. Happiness is a choice. Plan as though you will live forever, because you will. And live as though you'll die tomorrow, because you may. 10 simple things that's in all of our power, within all of our reach, we could do. And while these are 10 things that I believe that we all ought to do, and maybe some are already doing most, if not all of those things, I want to talk to you from the Bible just for a few moments. I'll give just an overview on how to be happy. There's 3 words I want you to write down, okay? Guarded, guided, gladdened. Just 3 simple words. When I look into this psalm, especially 1, 2, and 3, Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, that's the 3 words that come to my mind. Guarded. There's just some things we have to guard against. Number two, guide it. We need guidance in our lives. You want to be happy, you're going to have to guard against some things now. You just can't allow everything that comes into your life to attach to you. You just can't do it. You have to guard. You have to put your guard up. You have to be on guard. We have an enemy, and he wants to strip us of our joy. He wants to rob us of our happiness, doesn't he, brethren? But God wants us to enjoy life. He's given us all things in life to enjoy. Peter talked about loving life and seeing good days. And here the psalmist said again. He said it before. He'll say it many more times. And throughout the scripture, this word is mentioned. I challenge you to go home and look it up. That first word in Psalm 1, blessed. It means extremely happy. That's what it means. Extremely happy. Blessed is the man. You want to be happy? You want to be extremely happy. Then there's some things you're going to have to do. You've got to guard against some things. What are you going to have to guard against? You've got to guard against walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You can't do it. You have to be cautious about who and what you spend your time with and who you take advice from. I don't know one Christian, me personally, I've been pastoring for nearly 35 years. I don't know one Christian that didn't get out of God's will and get away from church and away from God and make terrible mistakes without someone else on the outside coming in and giving them terrible advice. And they took it. And it cost them. You be careful about who you get your counsel from. Amen. Notice again what he said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that, they immediately begin to think, when you hear the word ungodly, this really is the lighter of the three definitions in verse number 1 of an unregenerate person. Ungodly just simply means this person doesn't have God in their life. They've made no room for God in their life. You see it there in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Makes no room for God in their life. I know some folks that claim to be Christians who make no room for God in their life. You be careful about that. Then notice the second definition that he gives here the second word, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So it goes from ungodly, which means ungod or without God or no time for God, to sinners. You know what the word sin is? Sin's definition is missing the mark. It's falling short. That's what the word sin, most of the time in the scripture, that's what the word sin means, missing the mark, falling short. And so here's a person that's falling short, missing the mark. In other words, a sinner is a person who says, okay, this is God's way. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this my way. So that's what a sinner, by definition in the scripture, God said do it this way. I'm going to do it this way. See, I know some folks who were saved who live like that. So we have to be careful. You want to be happy, then you have to surround yourself with some certain types of people. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying there are just some people that shouldn't be my friends? I'm glad you got it. That's exactly what I'm saying. See, I can be friendly with someone without being their friend. You can be friendly with people. I'm not saying be crude and rude now. But just because, listen, the word friend means close associate. Look it up. When you look in Proverbs 17, when it says a friend loveth at all times, that word friend means close associate. It's someone that you're closely associated with, that you spend a lot of time with because of your association. A lot of time it's because of common, of mutual things that you have in common. Well, there's a lot of people that I'm friendly to that they're not a close association, but I want to be friendly to them because I want first of all, I just think that's the way a Christian ought to be. Well, sure, so friendly. Amen. But now, just because I'm friendly doesn't mean that that person's my friend. Not everyone that I'm friendly to is my friend. Now, the scripture here says, notice what it said. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not. He said, that's the ungodly. You be careful about walking with the ungodly. And then number two, he said, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Those that say, well, God said this, but I'm going to do this. Then notice how it progresses. You see how it's progressing? First of all, he's the ungodly. He said, you be careful about them. You be careful about them. He said, don't you take counsel from someone like that. They don't have room for God in their life. Right? You need to get with people who want God in their life and who want God's will to be done and who want to do it God's way. That's who you get your counsel from, right, brethren? Amen. And there are people that will stay away from people that they know that will tell them what the Bible says because they don't want to do what the Bible says. So they look them up someone who is ungodly. And they say, well, what do you think? You be careful about that. It's not going to end well for you. It hasn't for hundreds and thousands of years, and it's not going to start. And I'm just trying to help you to know how to be happy. You're not going to be happy if you surround yourself with people who are ungodly. Number two, you're not going to be happy if you surround yourself with sinners, with people who say, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. I'm not saying you shouldn't befriend a sinner. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to win sinners. But I am saying you be careful not to what? To stand with them. Is that what he said? Look at it in verse number one. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Then look what else he said. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now this is a whole nother level. The scornful mock and ridicule the things of God. They laugh at people who want to look right and dress right and act right and live right. They laugh at that and say, boy, I tell you, those people are fanatics. Yeah, I know, we're just Bible believers. We are fanatics to those who know little or nothing about the Bible and don't care what the Bible says. That's right. But that's not going to change, and it shouldn't change you. It's not going to change me by the grace of God. I want to do what this book says. And that's going to bring me happiness. Now to them it's going to bring ridicule and scorn. You be careful about that group of people. Now what did he say? Notice the progression. He went from the ungodly to the sinner to the scornful. But notice how it works. He said, you'll find yourself walking with them. And then you'll stop walking and start standing. And then you'll stop standing and start sitting. Now they become a part of your life, of your time, of my time, and we have to be careful. We just have to be careful. And so he said, you want to be blessed, you want to be happy, you be cautious who your associates are. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15? Evil communication corrupt good manners. Amen. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and turn, hold it here in Psalm. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs just for a moment. Proverbs 13. When, as you're finding Proverbs 13, when Paul said evil communications corrupt good manners, he's just simply saying, if you associate with the wrong people, before long you're going to find yourself thinking, acting, talking, and doing the things they think, act, and talk. Be careful. Be careful. I want you to be happy, all right? I want you to know God's best for your life, and God wants us to know His best for our lives. And we have to be cautious. Don't you leave here and say, well, the preacher said, go to work tomorrow and say, the preacher said all of you's going to hell and I have nothing to do with y'all. I didn't say that. You didn't hear what I said, did you? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you be cautious about who you spend your time with. And if you're going to love sinners, love them from a distance. Now listen, I know you have to go to where they are. I've gone to where sinners are. I have. I won't even get into that, but I have. You just be careful. Proverbs, are you there? Proverbs 13. Look at verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Praise the Lord. I tell you right now, I mentioned earlier about getting with some of these aged saints. I want to be around some of these aged saints, some of these wise saints of God. I do. I want to be around some folks who can impart some wisdom to me. But now the flip side of this, in verse number 20, look at it. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So be cautious, all right? Now let's turn back. And I'll give you a couple more truths, and then we'll finish this up maybe Sunday night, the Lord willing. So I want you to see this guarded life. You have to protect. Now, parents, you help your children to learn what it is to protect. Children do not have a very good filter when it comes to these kinds of things. It's a learned behavior. And we have to teach our children. We have to get in God's Word, and we have to teach them, and we have to work with them and teach them. There's just certain things. Now, it's not always in human form. Could be in music. Amen. Music preaches a message. I tell you, when I come to the house of God and I hear some of the music I hear, it's a blessing to my heart. I can be riding down the road listening to No More Night or He's More Than Wonderful. I tell you right now, it gets real in my soul. Just me and God. But you know, there's a worldly music out there that has a message too, isn't there? It does. It has a message. So I'm going to listen to it anyway. Are you happy? Are you happy? Well, I am sometimes. Really? You're okay with that? I'm telling you, music has a message. Be careful of the music you listen to. Be careful. So, preacher, I don't listen to rap music. Rap music's not the only music that has a bad message. Country music has a bad message. Oh, now you lay off my country, preacher. Country music, it's got a terrible message for the most part. I can't say every song. I haven't listened to them all. I don't know them all. I despise country music. I didn't have to get saved to do that. I despise that before I got saved. Well, now, preacher, you know, there's some good country music out there. You be careful. Be careful. Rock music, rap music. Be careful now. Be careful. What's that got to do with Psalm 1? Let's see here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Those songs are counseling you. They're advising you. There are songs that advise people to get to take suicide, to commit suicide. You know that? To rape women. There's music out there. You say, preacher, that's appalling. Oh, I know. That's why I don't listen to it. I hope you're not. I hope you're guarding now. I hope you're guarding. We're talking about guarding. Well, my children would never listen to that. Well, I hope not. But now you better be guarding. Amen. This is real. The same with television programming. You better be guarding. This is not talking about just some scruffy-looking, bum on the street corner who's going to give you some bad advice. This is talking about what you allow to go into your ear gate and through your eye gate. You be cautious now. You want to be happy, you have to guard against these things. And so he said, you want to be blessed, you want to be happy, then don't you take counsel from the ungodly. These artists, these musicians, these folks that make no room for God in their life, God said, you want to be happy, don't you take counsel from them. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says. If you don't think the Bible says that, you come see me after the service, and we'll talk about verse number 1 and many other verses. I want you to know what the Bible says. Whether our stubborn spirit and our rebellious will wants to accept it or not, well, that's a whole other thing. But the Bible says that this ungodly counsel can really rob us of a happy life. Say, preacher, I just feel bad and I don't know why. I feel sad all the time. Check what you're listening to, what you're looking at, what you're spending your time doing. There's devils attached to these things. You do understand this, right? They used to make a secret about it. Everybody understands this, right? You with me, church? You understand this? Yeah, well, preacher, I don't. It doesn't matter. It does matter. We've got a generation following us who are enslaved. You listening? Enslaved. I don't have a problem with this music. Well, yeah, the next generation does, and we're going to have to help them. Got to pray for them and reach them. See, when I was young, maybe when you were young, they used to put it in secret, backward masking messages. They cut that out now. They just come right out and tell you. You do understand that, right? They got caught doing it. They had to put labels on their, back then it was called records. Some of the young people wouldn't even know what that is. They had to put warning labels on them. Backward messages, subliminal messages. But there's no subliminal message in it anymore. They just come right out and say it. I mean, it is filthy. So you be cautious now. And don't ever think, as a wise parent, don't ever think my child would not do that. You never know. Children are inquisitive. The devil, listen, the devil is crafty. He's subtle. Amen. So be careful. Be careful about walking in the counsel of the ungodly or standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Be careful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'll give you this and then I'll be through tonight. We're talking about guarding. We've let our guard down. And there's a lot of things being piped into our homes and our vehicles and our heads and our hearts that shouldn't be there. And we really need to be careful. We need to ask God, God, there needs to be some cleaning up. Why do you think that the psalmist started out with the negative in verse 1? Because you're not going to delight, I'm not going to delight in the law of the Lord as long as these things in verse 1 are active in my life. Say, preacher, reading the Bible is a drudgery to me. There's something in your life that shouldn't be there. The blessed man, his delight, look at it now, but, that's a contrast, but, the man that is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, the man that is not standing in the way of sinners, the man that is not sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, in contrast to allowing these things that shouldn't be there, he has a delight for that that should be there, which is the law of the Lord. Amen. And it's a delight. It's a delight. So, well, preacher, I got my three chapters in today. Now, if you read three chapters today, that doesn't mean I'm talking to you. Amen. But if we're not careful, Bible reading will be just almost like a duty and not a delight. Am I right, brethren? And see, that's not the blessed man. He didn't say the blessed man reads the Bible. He said the blessed man delights in the Word. Yes. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. More are they to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Talking about God's Word. See, that's delight. Preacher, I want to get there. How can I get there? Well, I would review verse 1. If the delight has gone missing in your Bible time, in your reading, it's possible. I can't say what it is. I don't know what's in your heart. I just know what the Bible teaches and what I've experienced according to the Scripture. We need to search our hearts and see something's not right. We need to delight on this. You see, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You love the Word? Spending time in the Word? Feeding on the Word? Feasting on the truth of God's Word? If you are, well, then you're blessed. You're happy. See, that's the guided life. The guarded life, You have to watch those things that'll slip in. They just come in so innocently sometimes. And it happens to all of us now, brethren. Don't you think that, well, it won't happen to me. Well, it's happened to me. That doesn't mean that it has to happen to you, but I don't think that anyone can stand up and say, well, you know what? I haven't had any problem with counsel from the ungodly or haven't had any problem with being around things and people I shouldn't be around. And and doing things and saying things and thinking things I shouldn't say, do, or think. And he said, you want to be happy, you have to really guard your thought life. You're going to have to really guard what comes in your ears and through your eyes and gets into your mind and to your heart. Is that what he's saying? It's exactly what he's saying. You've got to be careful. You're going to have to put some guards up. And then you're going to have to live the guided life. What does God's word say? Are you doing what God said? When God says it, are you eager to do it? Are you carrying out the law? Are you doing what God said to do? Not as a duty, but as a delight. I get to do this for God. I'm happy to do this. We'll get into it a little further. Let's stand to our feet. I didn't lose you on that country music, did I? Say, preacher, you lost me on the rap. You're in worse shape than I realized.